found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
You're listening to the Maria Sanchez Show on LA Talk Radio and MariaSanchezShow.com. Start your workday off right with the Maria Sanchez Show on LA Talk Radio and MariaSanchezShow.com.
Good morning. This is Maria Sanchez, and welcome to the Maria Sanchez Show. Thank you for listening to us. If you're live, we appreciate your ears. If you have downloaded the podcast and you're listening on demand, thank you for that as well. You can find us on iTunes. You can listen to the program via MariaSanchezShow.com and TheMariaSanchezShow.com. And, of course, live at LATalkRadio.com. It's Tuesday, May 28th, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning Pacific. If you're listening on the web, we thank you as well. We report about stories that are current events, newsmakers, lifestyle, health, relationships, and fun things to do. So we are topical and we are worldwide. And if we can, when we can, we try and focus on Ventura County because it's overlooked. It's here in Southern California. It's in between the mighty Los Angeles County and the superb Santa Barbara County. And then there's like, oh yeah, whoops, there's Ventura County. So I always say if there's mud or blood that's in the news, or if the fire, for example, Springs Fire, and otherwise it doesn't get talked about. So a lot of our stories are regional, but they're also relatable because it's human interest. And so I'm a student of life. I have just an innate natural curiosity about the human condition. And so I try and get to the meat or the heart of stories, and when possible, just make them as relatable. We've got some great news in terms of our guests a little bit, in just a little bit. They are behind a cause that is helping marriages thrive and survive. And it's a worldwide story because this organization is having convention seminars, retreats in India, Singapore, Korea, and they're really active in the United States. So it's of relevance to you if you're in a relationship and it's hurting. And they give hope. So we'll talk about that. And speaking of hope, there's some great news out today, which is like, I love hearing this, that like for the first time ever or whatever, in terms of our economy, the stock market is going crazy because of the news about the housing market. And it is like, yes, we maybe actually have turned a corner in terms of the Great Recession. But U.S. home prices posted their strongest gain since 2007. Nationally, they rose over 10% in the first quarter. Here in Los Angeles, 16%. Phoenix recorded the largest year-over-year price spike with 22.5%. San Francisco, 22.2%. Las Vegas, 20.6%. New York was low at 2.6%. So it's the fourth consecutive quarter of year-over-year gains. And this is according to the S&P Case-Shiller National Index. Robert Shiller, who is a Yale economist and co-founder of the index, says that foreclosure sales are down, so naturally price indexes that include foreclosures are up, since foreclosures sell less than comparable non-foreclosure properties. So with fewer of them selling, home prices are going to show gains, which for whatever reason, it's nice. They're also saying that it might show that it's not a bubble, that home prices are going up. We don't want them to go up too fast, too often, but nevertheless, up is still great news. Over the weekend, I had the honor and privilege and just a great time to visit with my folks who live in the San Diego area. After our broadcast on Friday, hit the road, made a record time to get to the San Diego area where they are. So I was with them for about 72 hours over the weekend. And I don't just love my parents, I like them. They're great human beings. They are 83 and 80, respectively. My dad will be 84 in July. And while they're dealing with a lot of health issues, mostly because of their various cancers, their spirits are still pretty amazing. My dad is using a walker pretty much to walk with, which he hates, because he tries and uses the cane as much as possible, because in his estimation, a walker puts him that much closer to a wheelchair. But the last time I saw him, he had been hospitalized for an outpatient procedure that was to take about an hour, and through complications and basically physician error, he almost bled to death, or bled out, as he likes to call it, and ended up staying in the hospital for about 4 weeks to recover from that. So I hadn't seen him really walking, per se, because when I was there, he was in the hospital, and I was taking my mom back and forth to the hospital. So I have the pleasure and the privilege to be close to them in proximity, even though it's 145 miles. Nevertheless, I can jump in the car and get to them if and when needed. And the other thing I love to do when I'm with them is to take care of them. So I shop and I cook and I clean and I do laundry. And I this trip I did all the pruning in my mother's garden, and I changed out their bed, their mattress. They bought this Duxiana bed 18 years ago, and the coils needed to be reversed. So I did all of that while they watched me, which was really, it's cute to have an audience. And then I took care of the refrigerator, and then I organized the pantry. So I had to give each of them a tour of their new pantry, so they knew where I'd put things, and I put it so you can see everything. And it's just a thrill and a treat for me to be able to take care of them, because they took such good care of me when I was growing up. So I consider it just an honor, including tucking them in bed and applying their topical medications when necessary, and et cetera. So that was the reason that I went, however, was because Saturday was the celebration of life for my former fiancé and NFL football great Chuck Muncy. And that was Saturday at one of these mega churches called the Rock Church. And Point Loma, I think, was the city that it was in. But it was televised. It made the local news, San Diego News, Saturday night on all the stations. As we were flipping around, they were covering the funeral. Chuck died. It's 2 weeks ago yesterday, and he was only 60 years old, and he had quite the life. And it was lovely to have a celebration of life. The service lasted about 2.5 hours, and I assumed that I was going to go by myself. I mean, my folks had only met him once, and but they insisted on going, which was really sweet. And then my youngest brother, Carlos, who I had introduced to Chuck, also attended. He happens to live in the San Diego area. So the four of us were there, and I sat in between my parents. And this grieving thing is really something, how it has caught me completely and totally unaware, because I'll be fine, and then I'll reflect on something, or I'll find something. I found cologne that I had bought Chuck when I was in Europe a couple years ago, and I just found it in the last week or so. And I pull it out, and I'm like, oh, right, that was for him. So you who have had loss can understand that it just happens. And so I'll find myself tearing up, or my chin will start shivering, or, you know, trembling, if you will. And yesterday was no exception. I got home. I left my folks home early yesterday morning on Memorial Monday so I wouldn't get stuck in traffic, which was a brilliant concept, because I didn't. And my daughter stopped by on her way from a trip to Las Vegas back to where she lives in Santa Barbara. And she knew Mr. TB, as she called him, as in teddy bear, from the night she met him. She got enveloped in his arms. He was a massive man, 6'3", and just these enormous hands. And she said, he's just like a teddy bear. So she called him Mr. TB for the rest of our relationship together. So I spoke with her about my loss and some of my regrets. And then I had a girlfriend come over and join me for dinner last night. And I was talking to her, and she was born and raised in San Diego, and was, you know, is a huge Bolts fan, as she calls it, Chargers, which where Chuck made a lot of his history with the NFL as a running back. But this celebration of life had probably, I would say, 24 NFL players, former or current. And I'm going to be stereotyping here, but these were massive pillars of humanity. And the pastor asked at the very beginning, who here is a player or former player? And a slew of hands went up. And then at the very end, he said that they wanted to do a Muncy huddle. So the NFL players got on to the stage, and again, these, you know, just amazing people in their stature, and did a huddle. And to see these grown men cry was really something, too. So may you rest in peace, Mr. Chuck Muncy, and on all of your records and all of the goodness that, that you did in the world. So also while I'm with my folks, and I am not a television watcher at all, even though I'm in the business of broadcasting, I read about TV. And that's one of the things that my sons do with me when they come for dinner every Wednesday. They bring me an episode of a television program. So the first that they turned me on to was the series called Breaking Bad, and I don't even know what network it's on, but it's a cable show. Then they brought me Downton Abbey, so we finished all that, and that season debut is on my birthday next year, January 5th. And now we're in Arrested Development, which that just went on Netflix over the weekend. So I'm curious if they watched them all or not. So, because I think we're into the third and final season with me with my sons. But HBO debuted on Sunday night the Liberace story called Behind the Candelabra, which is after the bio of the lover of Liberace, Scott Thorson. And it has in it Matt Damon and Michael Douglas. So I said to my folks, are you guys interested in watching the show? And they're like, sure. So it came on Sunday night at 9 o'clock, and there we were in front of the television. And I said, it's sexually explicit, as I understand, because I had on Friday when it was in the news, I had actually gone and watched a clip, which I normally don't ever do, you know, for research. And so there was some naked scenes and crotch rubbing. We saw buttocks, but no penises, but still there was intimations of lovemaking and etc. It was absolutely fabulous. I highly recommend it. Now, if you don't get HBO, I don't know how you can see it, because a girlfriend of mine, she had said to me, let's go see Behind the Candelabra, and I was like, oh, that sounds great, and then I found out that it was on cable. So when I got back, I called her on my way home yesterday, and I said, I saw it. She goes, oh, I thought we were going to see it, and I said, it's on the cable channel. So she doesn't subscribe, and as of this morning, she wasn't able to successfully get to it. So I'm sure there are ways. But it's, by the way, it's never going to make it into the theaters here in the United States. But in the UK, it's going to be in the theaters, and it's breaking on June 7th. Now, it was shown at Cannes, and Michael Douglas came in second place for Best Actor behind, let's see, I have that story somewhere here. But I don't have it in front of me. Sorry. But they, Steven Soderbergh, who directed the film, said that he couldn't get a studio to make it. He said that we needed $5 million and nobody would make it. He was turned down by every studio that he approached because the executives deemed it too gay to turn an acceptable profit. So here's his quote. Nobody would make it. We went to everybody in town. We needed $5 million. Nobody would do it. They said it was too gay. Everybody. This was after Brokeback Mountain, by the way, which is not as funny as this movie. I was stunned. It made no sense to any of us. The people at HBO are great, and they're really good at what they do, and ultimately I think more people will see it, and that's all you care about. Studios were going, we don't know how to sell it. They were scared. By the way, this is the same Hollywood that still hasn't been shown a love story between a black man and a white woman having passionate on-screen sex. So I guess our biases are still very much alive and well. That would be homophobia, that would be sexism, that would be racism. And but speaking, oh, here's my con story, because an intimate lesbian love story by a French director won the Palme d'Or at Cannes on Sunday, and they say it has explicit lesbian sex scenes, one lasting up to 10 minutes, and they were concerned if the jury thought that it was going to be too risque, led by the way, Steven Spielberg. But they awarded it number one, and Spielberg said the award, an unusual move, would be shared between the director and the two lead actresses, as they were central to the film's successes. Now, this is on the same day in Cannes that this lesbian love story, which, by the way, in English, it's blue is the warmest color. I will not butcher the French title of it, because I do not speak French, and I would do it such injustice, so I won't. Hundreds of thousands of demonstrators marched in Paris on Sunday to protest France's recent legalization of same-sex marriage. I find that just amazing, with as forward-thinking as Europeans are, in French in particular. So this director of this film, again, his name, Abdellatif Kitchi, is a Tunisian-born actor who made his directorial debut in 2000. And he said, please go and see it, especially those of you who have been boycotting and, you know, demonstrating against same-sex marriage. So let's see, the second runner-up, or the first runner-up, I guess, was from the Coen brothers, Ethan and Joel Coen, Inside Llewyn Davis, a struggling New York folk singer, that story. And then the third prize went to a Japanese director for a film called Like Father, Like Son. American Bruce Dern won Best Actor in Alexander Payne's Road Trip, and that's what Michael Douglas lost to, was to him, from Behind the Candelabra. Folks are saying, bloggers and pundits are saying, that if it had theatrical release, that both Damon and Michael Douglas would have been nominated. And they say Matt Damon bulked up and then for his role. And he really is amazing. And they did an interview last week, and Michael Douglas was asked by the interviewer, would he have done this role when he was younger, i.e. like Matt Damon? He said, not in 100 years. I would have been afraid that it was going to destroy my career. So both of them married men, and brave performances and fabulous. So now we are having some good news story with our guests are Tony and Tina Ruiz, and they are with Help Our Marriage, and they're going to talk to us about the movement that's afoot.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. It's Maria Sanchez. You're live on the program.
Good morning, Maria.
Hi,
good
Tony morning. And Tina. Welcome, TNT, as we like to call you, Dynamite. Welcome to the program. And give us, before we get into the specifics about Help Our Marriage, give us the overview about RetroVie, a French word, and the movement, and how it has helped marriages.
Well, no problem. Thank you so much for having us, by the way.
Of course.
RetroVie is a French word meaning rediscovery, and it started in Quebec, Canada. It's been here in the United States now since late 70s, beginning 80s. And it's a program that helps hurting couples, and couples in misery, really learn how to communicate, learn a new way to talk to each other, and learn a new way to rediscover and reconnect with one another. And it is throughout the United States now, and actually it's in several countries, including the most recent country that we just went into, Tony, was, is it South Africa?
Africa, yeah.
So I understand
throughout the world
that the programs are being offered in, according to the website, India, Singapore, Korea, and, of course,
Italy.
The United States. Italy, oh, and South Africa, and the United States. So that's what's great about this, is that it's a worldwide story of hope.
Absolutely, absolutely. And through the weekend, we really see a couple transform on Friday come through. And Tony, when they're talking to you, what's some of the things that you tell them, what's going to happen to them on the weekend?
Well, they're gonna learn a new way to talk, a new way to communicate, a new way to live their married life. And they're going to rediscover and maybe even learn things that they really never got into before while they were in a relationship.
Yeah.
Now, so do you consider it a retreat? Do you consider it a seminar? How do you describe the experience?
It's a weekend experience for sure, and we do say it is a marriage retreat, but really we call it marriage boot camp, because it's really getting back to basics and working hard on focusing on your relationship. And, you know, in our society today, it's hard just to get that focus because we have so many things interrupting us. And so through the weekend, we get to cocoon us for, from Friday to Sunday, and really give the couples an opportunity to just focus on one another. And sometimes you just don't get that in this busy life.
And then there's three months of post sessions following the weekend, which we'll get to get in a little deeper into the subjects that were covered during the weekend retreat. So it's a marriage program is what it actually is. It's an actual 3-month marriage program.
And the weekend itself is about the couple sharing with one another or sharing with the group?
That's a good question. It's actually just couples sharing. What will happen is they will have there's a team of three couples and either a pastor couple or a priest, depending on what weekend it is, and they will share some of the techniques, and then the sharing is one-on-one, couple-to-couple. It is not an open sharing forum. It is not come and, discuss your issues or problems with a group. It really is an intimate journey with each other.
So the sharing couples that you referred to, the three, they are graduates of the program and they're not recruited on site on Friday night?
Yes. They're couples who have been through the program and have been through some misery and have been able to come from ashes and rebuild.
And basically, Maria, what you get is you get these three couples that have not only come through the program themselves, but now have taken it to the next level and taken their own life stories and transformed them into a beautiful journey that they take the couples on themselves.
So how do you mind sharing your story?
No, we'd love to.
Okay.
Because it is a beautiful story of rediscovery. And Tony, I'll start. I'll just say, start off with years ago on Mother's Day morning, I woke up miserable in my marriage, and it wasn't the first morning I woke up so miserable. And I just couldn't move on anymore. And there was so much that has happened in our marriage. We got married young. We didn't understand how important it is. Every morning was fighting and arguing, and I woke up thinking, who is this man? I don't even like him. How did I marry him? And finally, I just was miserable enough to ask for a divorce from Tony. And I just thought that was the way to start my life over.
And basically what happened from there for me was I left home and I took for granted the fact that I had my family there, my kids to be able to put to bed, my wife to be there to share my life with. But knowing that I wasn't the man that God, or the husband that God intended me to be, made it that much more of a want for me, a desire to make my life and my family's legacy that much better.
Yeah, it was definitely a miserable time for my children and for I, and we saw the Retrovi program in the bulletin, and I asked Tony to come, and I wasn't sure what it would do for us, because quite frankly on my end I was so angry and resentful with all of the things that had happened in our marriage. Marriage breakdown, we definitely had separation and lies, and we just had so much that we had to overcome. I didn't know how we could do it, and the weekend was a miracle. It changed me, and I really came into the weekend thinking Tony's right, he wasn't the man he was supposed to be. And when I got onto the weekend and I started to see, I wasn't the wife I was supposed to be. It was eye-opening for me. Through that, we were able to have some common ground, have a way to communicate. And believe it or not, anger and resentment that had years in my heart, I was able to set free throughout the program.
And for me, Maria, what happened is when I had lost everything, I basically lost everything. I lost my wife and my kids and my home and everything that I had. That took me to a place that definitely under the bottom of the barrel, I always say. But for me, it was knowing that I wanted better, and I had many talks with God during this time, and I told him, I said, if you give me my family back, I will do whatever it takes to work for you and to do whatever you want me to do. And he's put this beautiful program in front of us, and we've dedicated our lives to now helping couples out there that are in dire need of assistance. And it's just a beautiful walk with the many couples that come through, and we get to see them journey through their own rediscovery.
And the children that it impacts is just tremendous. I saw it directly with my own children, but we see so many children in Retrovi who heal too through their parents' journey.
And I'm here, my purpose, besides working on my own marriage with my wife, is to be able to be the voice for the children, the many, many thousands of children that are out there that don't have a voice in their family's relationship. You know, their moms or dads breaking up, or their mom and dad's fighting, or their mom and dad's not getting along, or all that kind of stuff. That's what drives me. That's my propellant to making this work even more so for all the couples that are out there.
Now, how might this differ from therapy, marital therapy?
Well, I can tell you, we did lots of therapy, the therapy that we had taught us how to talk, but didn't teach us this communication technique that RetroVi is teaching. I could tell you many counselors have come through the RetroVi program to experience it, and some of the counselors in certain communities won't even see a couple without them having RetroVi for a couple of reasons. One is it teaches the communication technique, but it also includes how to put God into your marriage through the communication, and then it gives you a program of fellowship, a program where others come together who have the same plight, which is to stay married. And in our society, that's a very small bubble to find, because our society teaches us otherwise sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so you have a program of fellowship and peers to support you through the good and the bad. And there's lots of things that we have to say in our marriage we're not proud of, we're ashamed of, and you still have peers who love you and say, it's okay, we can get past this. And I think that's the difference between the counseling and RetroVi. Wouldn't you say, Tony?
Absolutely. I felt the reason I fell in love with the program is because I was always loved and I was never judged. I was never judged for any of the mess that I went through. People were only there to support us, walk us through, and give their genuine heart. You know, these are all regular working people that have dedicated themselves to putting it out there for other people. It's kind of that pay it forward type process. You know, we got it, now we're paying it forward. And then somebody else is going to get it, and they're going to pay it forward. And that's how this program's lasted since 1977, is everybody paying it forward to help the greater cause of marriage and society and legacy of family.
Now, do you see any commonalities with the couples that are in attendance with what the dysfunction is or where the breakdowns occur?
You know, it's interesting for me. Misery is the commonality. It's misery. And I have seen, we've been in RetroVi since 1999, and misery has no color lines. It has no economic lines. It has no beauty lines. You know, misery is common throughout. And that really is the common theme. It's people who come in and they're looking for hope. They're at the end of their rope, and misery is probably the most common thing that we see come through.
So a weekend, what are the requirements to attend? What needs have to be met in order to be able to be there on a Friday night?
Well, basically, Maria, that's pretty simple. You have to have, you know, the willing participants to say yes. You know, I'm willing to take a chance and try something that I'm not sure of, or try something that I don't know nothing about. Basically, they sign up and they go to helpourmarriage.com, and they go on the website there and they sign up for the date. Like this particular Friday is the 31st. We're going to have a weekend. If somebody wants to sign up, they go to helpourmarriage.com. They go on that little calendar on the left side of the page, punch the 31st, they find Santa Clarita, California, they go all the way over and begin registration, they sign up, then they'll get a call, and they'll get talked to for a minute, and then after that, they're registered to come to the weekend.
We do go through a process that we ask them, are they willing to work on their marriage? And I'll be honest with you, when you come into RetroVi, it may be hard to say yes to that question when you've been through misery and anger and resentment. And, you know, saying, yes, I'm willing to work on this marriage is a tough thing to say. And we assure them that, you know, it's you have to have a small mustard seed of willingness, and we'll do the rest through the grace of God and the miracles that abound. But if they have to be able to say, you know what, I will at least reach out a small little finger towards this partner of mine, you know, this marital, my husband or wife. And that's about the only requirement, that they come with an open heart and an open mind. And Tony tells them, give us a weekend and we'll change your life. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth.
Now, what about costs?
Tony, you want to explain the cost of the program?
Well, the cost, Maria, we don't turn anybody away for money. We are a nonprofit organization, and basically what we do is, we have a registration fee to sign up. That's when you sign up. That's a $150 sign-up fee. And then as far as the cost, obviously we incur cost with the hotel and the food and everything and the supplies, but we have what's called a blanket envelope donation, and that's where we let the couples know that, you know, we ask in the substance, you know, there's a lot of struggling couples out there with the economy and jobs and life, and but we actually give them a blank envelope and let them donate what they from their own means, from their own abilities.
Because to explain to the listeners, there is lodging involved Friday and Saturday night, and then there are meals that are provided. And so
yes,
the $150 is the minimum that somebody will have to incur, which is for two people, and then you're encouraged to donate at the end if you can afford to do so. I would imagine that $150 fee might be able to be waived depending on the circumstances.
Absolutely. When people have some extenuating circumstances, well, when they sign up and they get a call, then they can discuss those circumstances with the person they talk to. And, everything's a case by case, but, you know, we work things out. The cost is the least important thing to the repair of the marriage, the repair of the family, and getting that family trained back on its tracks is absolutely the most important.
So here's the cool thing is this Friday, May 31st, is this program in Santa Clarita, but there's also one in Mumbai, India, one in Singapore, one in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, one in Orange County, and one in Michigan and Minnesota.
Yep.
all this Friday. So there's healing that can be gained throughout the world with this RetroVive program, which is what I love about this is that it's about healing marriages. Now, what happens if somebody's listening and they're already divorced or they're separated? Does it apply to them too as well?
Absolutely. We've had couples that have been divorced several years come and rediscover the love in their marriage and their life again. It's hard to explain until you actually experience it, but it takes these two people's beings and takes their whole relationship to a whole new level.
I can say for Tony and I, we were separated for over a year, and I believed I was moving on to another journey, and so did Tony. But through RetroVive, we were able to rediscover that, you know what, there was a reason that God brought us together. Our children were important, and more than anything, our heritage was important, because sometimes when you make the decision to divorce and separate, you have a lot of pride. And you have a lot of commitment, and you have a lot of friends who support that. And so having to say, I'm going to try this again in this society is hard, hard to do. But that's why RetroVive is so beautiful. You have a whole community of people saying, you can do this. And we're thinking about the end in mind, which is your heritage. We're thinking about that young couple's grandchildren who they haven't even thought about yet, graduations where they're together as a couple and a family. Their children, having a mother and a father. So,
can you speak briefly about the four stages of marriage?
Tony?
Yes. Basically, everybody's marriages are split into four stages. The first stage is obviously romance. That's when a couple meets and they have butterflies in their stomach and they love being with each other and they can talk on the phone for hours at a time. And then, unfortunately, due to life and kids and everything that happens in life, we enter a stage of disillusionment. And that's where, we may not quite see that person that we have been with as quite so perfect. So then they enter the stage of disillusionment. Unfortunately, for for most of the couples that come through the program, they hit the next stage, which is misery. Not everybody hits it, but a great majority of society hits it. And that's where the problems in the marriage and the problems that face the couple are unbearable, like as in our situation. There's many different factors. There's infidelities and there's financial issues and there's abuse and addictions and all that stuff. So they hit misery. And then with God's grace and the willingness to take a look at their life and make a change, they hit the fourth stage, which is reawakening, where it's where they find each other again and the hearts connect and things happen that really turn their entire life around.
Now, both of you have mentioned God's grace. Does that mean that you have to be religious in order to attend this?
We teach a communication technique that we have seen all religions or non-religious people come through and experience and use that technique. So the technique is just the most essential piece of it. But certainly, you know, for our journey, we do have a spiritual component on that, but you do not have to be religious. You just have to be, you know, you have to be open to come and learn more about each other. That's
really the faith belief isn't, that your faith belief isn't the important part. I mean, we have all faith beliefs come through. Everything from Catholics to Christians to Protestants to Lutheran, everything. Everybody comes through. That isn't a requirement. The requirement is that you have a marriage that's in a place that you don't want it to be, and you want it to be in a better one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important part.
But there is a grace-filled component on it, you know, through prayer. You don't have to. I always heard someone say, you know, religions for people who don't want to go to hell, but you know, spirituality is something you get when you've been to hell. And you know, when you're in a miserable marriage, I'm sorry, I probably couldn't say that word. Heck, down below. But when you're in a miserable marriage, it feels like there's nothing. It's so dismal and dark. And through Retrovi, you have light at the end of the tunnel and hope.
And what do you have a success rate that you know of? I mean, can you speak to how it works, the efficacy
Well, I look at it like this, Maria, because I actually talk to a lot of the couples pre and post. I look at it like this. I always say for a couple that comes and is willing to put themselves out there and take a chance and make a difference in their life, you know, they come to the marriage weekend, they experience the weekend, and then they start to attend all of the post sessions, which are 3 months long.
Those are the couples we will see have the most success rate.
Right.
They will come through because they're working the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I can definitely tell you, out of all the couples who come through, it is a very small percentage of couples who don't make it after working the program effectively. It's a very small percentage. And it's because, you know, who knows why, but through our graces, we've been able to see those couples come in on Friday night and continued their heritage with their family and their children, and we've been blessed to see that.
I would imagine it's got to be incredibly rewarding to see the beauty and the bounty. That, I mean, you know that it started with love, and then somehow it got, as you, Tony, said so well, got off the tracks, and then to see that reignited or a glimmer of hope must just be amazing.
It's we talked about God's graces, and I'm sorry to say that, you know, I'm not sorry to say, actually, it is one of those just grace-filled things that you cannot ever experience. And the most important part, can I just say, the most beautiful part for us is to see a couple who was on the verge of divorce or in the attorney's office, and now guess what? We're sitting at their children's wedding with these people, right? Or their 40th anniversary. We just attended the 25th anniversary of a couple who came through Retrovi. But to see their children speak about their parents' marriage and how blessed they are to have their parents together, that's the beauty of it. And that's what continues to keep us working, not only because of our own marriage, because we definitely do it for us as well, but to also see that beautiful, it affects everybody. It's the pebble effect. You know,
mm-hmm.
If they can stay together, their children are going to be healthier and better relationships, so on and so forth.
Well, and I might add that you two have your lives as husband and wife and father and mother and careers, and this is something that you give of yourself and your time. So it's not like you're paid counselors or something.
Absolutely. It's a labor of love. It's volunteer. We work hard in it because we work for that couple who's going to heal, you know, and Tony will know. We just had a long weekend of preparing for this upcoming weekend, right, Tony?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And not only that, you know, for us, you know, we lived our life, you know, we've been together quite a few years since we were young, and so we've gone through a life of where I played softball or Tina did this or we did this or that. And this is the beautiful thing is that we do it from labor of love, but we do it together as a couple and we give of ourselves as a couple. And that's, to me, there's nothing better out there than that.
Well, yeah. I can't thank you enough for giving your time for the cause as well as for our listeners, too. And helpourmarriage.com, and it's a week. This weekend, it's starting on Friday, May 31st. Do you want to share the 800 number as well?
Actually, we have a weekend, and we have our weekend phone number mm-hmm. for the people that are in the area that want to go.
Okay.
And that number is 661-257-7980.
Okay, I'll post
if
that.
They call that number. They can leave their information on there. They'll get a call back, and then we'll get them signed up because we only have a few days left.
Mm-hmm.
But on the website there, they have all the resources there to
and sometimes there's parents listening to these conversations, right, whose children are going through a divorce. They're worried about their son or their daughter in another state, and helpourmarriage.com will get you to whatever state that you need for whatever family member or friend is going through struggles in their marriage. And I always say, you know, in sickness and health and good times and bad, you know, for richer or poorer, that life gives us that. Life happens and it gives us that. And so if you're someone who knows of a couple who's struggling, don't be afraid to say, try this. We've had so many people come on a weekend where they weren't really willing, but somebody in their family signed them up or said, hey, you need this, or even their children signed them up. And so don't be afraid to reach out to that hurting couple and try all that you can to save their marriage.
Excellent advice. Thank you, Tony and Tina. Really, really appreciate, and thank you for all you do for making our world a better place.
Maria, thank you so much for giving us your time. We're so excited to have done this.
Thank you.
Me too. Have a great day and a good week and a fabulous weekend.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Tony and Tina Ruiz, R-U-I-Z. And again, it's helpourmarriage.com. And every day we post the podcast on latalkradio.com, mariasanchezshow.com, and themariasanchezshow.com. So we will link to that. And it is hope. In the interest of full disclosure, which is what I am a fan of doing, I learned about Retrovi. I believe it started with the Catholic Church, and as I've mentioned, I'm Catholic, and it was, as Tina mentioned in the interview, it was in the bulletin, and that's the code for Catholic, the newsletter, basically, that is passed out every Sunday after Mass. And I had gone through the engagement encounter and marriage encounter with a previous marriage, and that's for healthy relationships. It's to help you keep the train on the track. Well, Retrovi is for troubled relationships. So in my last marriage, which is such a disheartening thing to have to share with you, but I was separated from my then husband, and we went through Retrovi. We went through the weekend, and we did rediscover one another and the love that we had kind of put to the side, even though we always knew that it was evident. And we did do the follow-up sessions until I think... it was session 5 or 6, of which at that time there were 7 of them. We just got off track and never regained it. That just happened. And so I'm one of the few probably failures that the movement has had. And that's for a whole host of reasons. And obviously it takes two to make something work, and it takes two to take it off the tracks. And I'm not proud at all. In fact, that's, I don't know if I would call that a regret, but I love the institution of marriage. I think it has amazing resources and value, and I have tried it several times, and I haven't been able to make it work. And so I think, well, I'm the commonality in all of that, so I'm obviously a big part of the reasons that they're not around, and I also know that I also chose unwisely. So maybe that explains why I've been single for 8 years now. I've had 3 or 4 men propose to me, and while at the time it sounded like a good idea, it's like, well, I don't know. So I keep swinging at, I'm at the bat, and I keep swinging at the pitches. It's just I haven't hit a grand slam yet. But I'm optimistic. Excuse me. I think that at some point I will, and I look forward to that. Living alone, this is the longest that I've been single in my entire adult life. So it's this is my norm for me. It's the norm, and I'm doing quite well. It's not that I'm not lonely. I'm alone, and that is what it is. So there, in the interest of full disclosure. So here, as much as we can, we try and focus on good news. And here's a great story out of Eastern China. There was a newborn baby boy that was flushed down the toilet, and firefighters rescued him. Residents said that they heard the sound of a baby crying. This all happened over the weekend. Excuse me. And it was found in some pipe just below a toilet or commode, as they call it. So firefighters went in and cut the pipe where the sounds were coming from. They took the pipe to a hospital where doctors carefully cut around it and rescued the baby boy alive. His arms had been pinned to his side. When the confines of the pipe had been pried away, he let out a big, long cry. And of course, his eyes, face, and body were covered in filth. He is in stable condition, and the authorities are looking for the parents, obviously. And they have named him baby number 59 because that's the number of his incubator. So that's all over the news. Also in the good news, we have President Obama visiting with New Jersey Governor Chris Christie today to survey the recovery efforts from the Jersey Shore that were inflicted by Superstorm Sandy. And this is, of course, the beginning of the tourist season, and obviously billions of dollars in revenue goes into the area. So that's helping highlight that. And, of course, Governor Christie was on the news last week as a co-host of one of the morning shows talking about, as well as the cast of Jersey Shore, to highlight the fact that it's up and running. The storm caused $38 billion worth of damage. So it was huge. And today they're saying that the tornado damage in Moore, Oklahoma, that has been estimated at $5 billion. Last week they were reporting $2 billion, so now it's more than doubled. So FEMA is getting some praise because of their response to the Moore tornado as well as to the Superstorm Sandy after what people said was a mismanagement from Katrina. So it looks like we can learn and we can grow and we can do well. And we were speaking earlier about how the behind the candelabra wasn't made because of the, it sounds like homophobia, in my estimation, this and the wildly liberal culture of Hollywood. And I would say that sexism is still alive and well, and I don't look for it because I've had the luxury or the privilege of being in careers that have been traditionally male-dominated and haven't seen much, although my first career, after I graduated from college, I traveled for my sorority for a year as the national representative and went all over the United States. Came home in 10 months. I came back to Los Angeles once. So I was living out of a suitcase for 10 months and loved it and went everywhere in the United States, literally, from Seattle, Washington to, Miami, Florida to Bangor, Maine to Michigan to Texas, just literally everywhere. And after that, I was appointed as a State Farm insurance agent. I was one of the first women that they appointed. It had been traditionally a male field. Now I believe it's nearly 50-50. And one of the first daughters, because that was my dad's career. And I went into insurance because I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to earn as much as my ambition would allow. And I wanted to work with people. So it seemed like a logical step. At the time, I was also young and single. So I was female, young, and single. And I was the only woman in my district, and I was the only woman at a lot of the events and meetings. And my colleagues, by and large, were all married. And so they would say, bring your wives, and blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, okay, so that obviously doesn't include me. And the men would take weekend snow skiing trips or poker trips or whatever, and being the only woman, I was not invited. So fast forward to 3 months ago, I gave a piece of furniture to my furniture refinisher who I've used over at least 10 years. Not only do I not have it back, he has cashed the check, and I finally sent him a text this morning. I said, you know, I can't decide if I should go to the sheriff, small claims court, or the Better Business Bureau, because you've either stolen my furniture and taken my money or something. And it's like, I know if there was a man involved, it wouldn't be happening. So hopefully it's going to get resolved. Have a great day. We look forward to visiting with you tomorrow. Thank you so much for allowing us to be in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Maria Sanchez Show on LA Talk Radio and MariaSanchezShow.com. Live every weekday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, and on the net at LATalkRadio.com and MariaSanchezShow.com.